理课堂听 class.com
Studio Classroom is on the air. You can make a difference. Today we're talking about the third way you can change someone's life.Welcome, everyone, to Studio Classroom. This is your advanced program, and my name is Troy, your host on today's program, and we're continuing to talk about our article on psychology called You Count, or You Are Important. And in the last 2 days of last week, we discussed two ways that you can make a difference. And today is the last day of this article in which we will talk about the third way you can change someone's life.With me in the studio today are our two co-hosts from last week, Esther and Amy. Hi, ladies.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. Glad to be back with you today.
Okay, well, let's just review then. Last week when we talked about the article, You Count, Three Ways You Can Make a Difference. Amy, what was the first point?
Where there is gloom, bring hope.
All right, and that actually occurred in the life of a Mr. Stephen Lesko when three teenage girls came to his home and discovered that he had just arrived home with his wife who was terminally ill. She was going to live out her days at home, and so Mr. Lesko was feeling very sad. But these three young teenage girls changed his life and his attitude and encouraged him by actually giving him a very small gift.And Esther, what did we learn then in the second day? What is another way we can make a difference?
Where there are words that hurt, bring words that heal.
Okay, and so we can be a verbal cheerleader. And Amy, what is it to be a verbal cheerleader?
That means you use your words to encourage someone, to cheer them on. And actually, I think Esther is a great teacher to have on this program because she is definitely a verbal cheerleader. She's always encouraging people. Mm-hmm. She often tells me, oh, you're doing a great job. So she's a good example of a verbal cheerleader.
Thank you, Amy, for encouraging me.
And in Chinese, what is a cheerleader?
La la dui.
Okay, la la dui. So it's a person who basically says, you can do it. You count. You're important. You know, don't give up.And so we read in yesterday's article then an example of this very thing about Libby and Larry Adams, who own a custom woodworking business in North Carolina in the United States. They actually make dog houses for customers. But over the years, some customers were very insensitive and negative about their products. And until one day when a customer came inSays she was just full of energy and enthusiasm. She was brimming with energy and enthusiasm, and she raved, complimenting them about the wonderful work that they did in making their dog houses. So that, you know, she said from then on, she said they would often think of that woman and the encouragement that she gave to them.And so we ended then last week by asking people, are you a critic or do you leave people feeling glad and happy? Well, today we're going to talk about the third way to make a difference. And so let's begin then by reading today's article in your advanced magazine on page 26. In column 2, at the top of the article, down through page 27, line 7.
Where there is harshness, bring gentleness. This world truly needs more people who are considerate, kind, and tender. Where there is harshness, bring gentleness. And if you are the source of harshness, recognize it quickly and move rapidly to correct it. In the book, Nourishing the Soul, writer Angelus Arian tells of witnessing an encounter between two strangers, an adult woman and a teenage skateboarder.Arian was at a bus stop sitting next to a woman reading the newspaper. Arian was amazed at the skill level of a 14-year-old who was on a skateboard. He buzzed by the bench once, then twice. When he came by a third time, He accidentally knocked the woman's newspaper out of her hands. Angrily, she said, "Oh, why don't you grow up?"
So this is our third point in making a difference in someone else's life. What is the third point, Amy?
Where there is harshness, bring gentleness.
Okay, harshness, Esther, what do we mean?
If someone is very harsh, it means that they're ruthless. They may be very sarcastic. Showing harshness, another word may be acrimony.
Okay, acrimony would be another word. And so when someone is harsh, that means they speak very unkindly. They speak in an unkind way to another person. Or maybe it's their tone of voice. Maybe they just sound like a dog barking at them, barking at you. And so the opposite of harshness would be gentleness. And has that ever been demonstrated in your life by another person? Has someone showed you gentleness in some way?
Definitely.
I think it's especially important for husbands. And if you, listener, are a husband, married, and you have a wife, then it's important to treat your wife with gentleness. That's something that, after being married for 18 years, I'm still learning how to be a gentle person. I also have two daughters, and sometimes I find that when I talk to them, I am a little harsh. Depending on how I'm doing that day, if I'm not doing very well and I'm feeling frustrated, I may speak to them in a way that causes them to cower a little bit, or maybe to fear me. I want my children to respect me, but I don't need to sound harsh in order to gain that respect or even to make them do what they should do. I think that's unfair. So as a father, I guess I'm just confessing and telling our listeners that I need to practice being more gentle. And my wife is helping me with this, by the way. We have a little sign that when I speak harshly to my daughter, my wife will usually smile at me or put her finger aside her nose. And my daughter she knows nothing about this, but it's a way for my wife to tell me that I'm being too harsh, or maybe I'm talking about a problem too long and I just need to stop talking about it.
That sounds like a good system.
Okay. So what does this world need more of, Esther?
We truly need more people who are considerate, kind, and tender.
Tender, gentleness?
Soft.
Okay. What are those synonyms, tender, gentleness?
Somewhat. And I think when we think of someone who's tender, often that can mean someone who is protective and loving and sensitive to others' emotions. I think it does not mean that you are weak, or that you let other people push you around, but it means that you are very considerate of others and you try to take care of them, to be kind to them, and to protect them from harm rather than hurting them with your words.
So I've thought about ways that I can respond to my daughter when she doesn't like what I said to her, or I'm needing to correct her, even though as a father, that is my obligation and my responsibility to correct her, I need to do it in the right way. And sometimes I find it's difficult because, when you have a teenage daughter, they're just so quick to say, "Well, I understand," or "No, thank you," or sometimes they can be disrespectful. And as a father, that makes me upset. And so I certainly never use unkind words, but sometimes I speak a little too loudly. Not that loud, but, my wife thinks it's a little loud. And my voice is a little loud anyway. So sometimes I get overly excited and I may speak loudly to my daughter, such as, I might say, "Now, listen here. You need to stop talking that way. That's not true." So, my wife is going, "Okay, that's all right. You can say that, but maybe you can be more calm in the way you say it and more gentle."
That's true. I think harshness can really come across in our tone of voice. Maybe sometimes if you're upset, you might manage to keep your words kind of neutral and not harsh, but your tone of voice might sound like you're upset. And that kind of, gives away the fact that you are being harsh.
Yes.
And harshness can really hurt another person or make them feel bad or make them upset. It's not a good way to communicate. I think it can damage a relationship rather than helping you.
Okay, so how do we correct it, Esther? Do you have any ideas about how a person can correct themselves when they're being harsh toward another person?
When I was young, my teachers told me, when you get angry, count to 10 silently, and then say what you want to say. So when you count to 10, you're telling yourself to calm down. Or if you want to say something mean, then just try not to say it. Speak in a nice, gentle voice.
Yes, one of the methods that I employ is to review at the end of the day how my day went. And I'll ask myself, today was I harsh to anyone? Now, that's usually not a problem with the people with whom I work, but it can be sometimes a problem when you're together with your family on the weekends, you know, and you've run out of things to do, and your daughters are arguing with one another, and they're not getting along, and, you know, and there are dirty dishes in the sink, and your car doesn't work right, and people are making demands of you on the telephone, and you've got and maybe work to do that day. And when all of that pressure begins to build up, sometimes the way you respond to people is rather harsh and unkind. So you need to stop and correct it. Now, what does Angelsarian, or it might even say, I think it's Angelsarian, is the way I would pronounce it here, in line 32. What does he write in his book, Nourishing the Soul, Amy?
Well, he tells about one time he saw an encounter, that means just sort of a meeting, between two strangers, an adult woman and a teenage skateboarder. A skateboarder is someone who rides on a short board with two small wheels at each end for fun or as a sport.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at a bus stop, sitting next to a woman reading the newspaper, and he saw this 14-year-old who was skateboarding by and accidentally knocked the woman's newspaper out of her hands.
This never happens, right?
Yeah, and we see that skateboarders, we don't see that very many skateboarders in Asia, but mm-hmm. in the West, we see lots of people skateboarding, and often they won't pay attention to the pedestrians. People are walking, they might bump into them and not even say, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Or while they're skateboarding, maybe they're manipulating or maneuvering their skateboard too close to other people. And so if they're too close, they might accidentally run into someone. And sometimes it's like, you know, for that person, well, big deal. You know, I'm a skateboarder. I'm on the sidewalk. I can be here like anybody else. So get out of my way. Here I come. And sometimes their attitude is rather...
selfish.
Yeah, selfish, disrespectful. So the result here in the story, Arian says, was that the 14-year-old skateboarder actually did what to the woman?
He actually accidentally knocked the woman's newspaper out of her hands. And this is the third time he buzzed by or whizzed by the lady.
Mm-hmm. So this was at a bus stop. Now, I know that here in Asia, right, you don't see as many skateboarders as you might in the West, but you do see a lot of rollerbladers, people who buy those skates, those inline rollerblade skates, and they whiz by with those. I often see them in the park, but in the big cities in the United States or in other parts of the country, people actually get back and forth to work using skateboards or roller skates. It's an inexpensive form of transportation, I suppose, especially for a 14-year-old who's too young to, you know, ride a scooter or drive a car.
That's true.
Okay, so when something buzzes by, what do we mean by that?
It means that to move quickly around a place. So that means he was quickly skateboarding past her. And apparently he was skateboarding very close to the bench, and it was a little too close for comfort.
Okay, now what else buzzes, Esther, besides cars and skateboarders?
Well, when we talk about the word buzz, it's also a sound, mm-hmm. and it's a sound, that's right, the bee makes a buzzing sound.
Mm-hmm. And I know I've been walking, you know, through the field. I grew up in the country, and suddenly a bee would buzz by, and it was very fast. Sometimes big flies will buzz by, too. And so that's what was happening here. And what did the woman say after the skateboarder? Probably not purposely. But anyway, the skateboarder knocked the paper out of her hands. How did the woman respond?
She responded in a very angry tone, and she said, "Oh, why don't you grow up?"
Hmm. Well, maybe that's a good question. But then, after all, he is 14 years old, the skateboarder. I mean, he is growing up, right? But he's still 14 years old, so he's probably acting his age.
That's probably true. But this woman is just upset that he knocked the newspaper out of her hands, and she just instantly reacts in anger. It sounds like she probably didn't count to 10 first, the way Esther's teacher suggested.
Well, let's read on and find out how the story goes. Page 27, reading then from line 8 through to the end of today's article.
Aryan watched the young man glide to the corner where he stood talking with a friend. The two of them kept looking back over their shoulders at the woman. Then the woman, noticing their look, rolled up her paper, tucked it under her arm, and walked into the street. There she motioned to the young skateboarder. "Won't you come here?" she called out. "I want to talk to you." Very reluctantly, he skated over to her and said, "Yeah?" The woman said, "What I meant to say was that I was afraid that I might get hurt. I apologize for what I did say." His face lit up, and he responded, "How cool!" That simple but profound encounter between a woman and a skateboarder is a good reminder that large opportunities to change the world do not come our way often. However, small ones invade our lives every single day. By being aware and responding promptly, each and every person can make a big difference.
All right, so the story continues. Aryan says here, the writer of the book, Nourishing the Soul, and he's talking about these two people who had an encounter, a 14-year-old and a woman reading the newspaper. So we read on line 8 on page 27 that Aryan watched the young man glide to the corner where he stood talking with a friend. And the two of them kept looking back over their shoulders at the woman. Obviously, they heard what she said.
Mm-hmm, and they were probably talking about her and about the encounter that just happened. And probably the young man was kind of upset by it, because usually we do feel upset when someone is angry with us.
And Esther, what did the woman do then?
She took the paper, put it under her arm, and she walked over to the young skateboarder, and she told him, "Won't you come here? I want to talk to you."
Wow, that's a bit frightening. I'm thinking, is this woman going to punch me? Is she going to give me a lecture, yell at me again? And this woman was doing something probably few of us do, that when someone has hurt us in some way, or there is a problem in our relationship with an individual, we often don't go to that person and say, "I need to talk to you. You know, there's something that I need to talk about, because there's a problem in our relationship, and I need to," we say, "get it off our chest." And so that's what she wanted to do. So she went over to the young man to speak to him. But he was very reluctant. I wonder why.
I think he was probably expecting her to still be angry with him and to give him a lecture, as Esther said.
Well, I thought this is interesting. He didn't walk over to her. He actually skated over to her on a skateboard. Wouldn't you be afraid of running into her and knocking her over again? I mean, I probably would have left my skateboard with my friend and simply walked over there and said, "Yeah," or "Yes." And what did the woman say, Esther?
She said, "What I meant to say was that I was afraid that I might get hurt." So she was honest about how she felt. And then she goes on and she says, "I apologize for what I did say."
Okay. So she's actually wanting to tell the young man how she really felt. Her response was, "Oh, why don't you grow up?" That's the first thing she said to the young man after he, probably inadvertently ran into her, hit her, knocked the paper out of her hands. So she was angry, but her response was a response of anger, and she put him down. "Really? Why don't you grow up?" Well, he's 14 years old. He is growing up. He's just not an adult yet. And so her response was not really one of truth, because in reality, what she felt was, "I'm afraid he might hit me," and he did.
And I've heard that anger is often a result of fear. oftentimes if we're afraid of something, you know, we become angry because we can't protect ourselves or because we feel out of control. And so in this case, she was afraid and then she got angry. And then unfortunately, she spoke out of anger rather than being gentle. But the good thing is that after she made her mistake of being harsh, she apologized for it. And I think that's an example that all of us can learn from. That, you know, sure, maybe we'll all try to be gentle, we'll try to be encouraging, but sometimes we'll say the wrong thing if we're upset. And I think, you know, all of us will say the wrong thing from time to time. And when we do that, rather than just forgetting about it, we should go to that person and apologize.
Okay. And that's what she did here, didn't she, Esther?
That's right.
Do you see anything interesting in her response to this young man? She says she was afraid. I mean, she's really opening herself up and saying, you know, the truth is, I needed to tell you, will you please stop skateboarding by me? I'm afraid you might hit me. That's the truth. And now the young man then at that point would have had a decision to make, a choice to respond in an appropriate way, probably by telling the lady, oh, I'm sorry, or I'll skate a little further away from you.
That's right. And if we feel like other people are hurting us, we need to let them know honestly that they are hurting us. We should say, I'm sorry, but when you do this, I feel terrible. Or when you say this, I feel like I'm nothing. And just let them know. And perhaps they'll say, I'm sorry. Or you can even tell them, I'm sorry the way I'm responding to you.
I think this is a very big thing for this woman to have done. I mean, she must have an enormous character. She has a great character. She's really a very solid person. Because after she said what she meant to say was that she was afraid, then she said, I apologize for what I said. I would think that the other person, the boy, the young man, the skateboarder, should have said to the lady, I apologize for running into you. But rather, she took the initiative. She chose to apologize first.
That's right. I think that is a great example because it's hard for us to apologize, especially when we feel like the other person did something wrong to us. But I think in almost every case, you know, we've done at least a little bit of something wrong, too. And I think if we go to the other person and demand an apology, we'll probably only get into a bigger conflict with them. But I think if we do take the initiative to apologize first for whatever we did wrong, even if it was small, I think that can really kind of open the door to reconcile that relationship and to make things better.
Do you agree, Esther? Is that a good point to take the initiative to say, I'm sorry, even if it, you know, the accident wasn't your fault?
That's right. That's very important. And we also need to verbalize it. Don't tell people you're sorry just by your actions. Actually go to them and say, I'm sorry.
That's a very good point. Thank you. And how did the young man respond in this situation?
Well, his face lit up and he said, how cool. He thought, you know, he was expecting a lecture and here this woman apologizes to him instead.
Wow.
And, you know, maybe it wasn't very articulate of him just to say, how cool. It's kind of a typical 14-year-old response, maybe. But it shows that he was touched and moved and surprised and maybe inspired by this woman coming to him and being honest and apologizing.
It's interesting. We often talk about lighting a candle or turning on the light bulb. In this case, his face, it says, lit up. So it was as though someone had put some fire inside of him. I mean, he was surprised, so surprised that suddenly there was this glow on his face. He lit up. Okay. And what is then the response of the writer of the book, Nourishing the Soul? How does Arian sum up this encounter, Esther?
He says that large opportunities to change the world do not come our way often. But in each encounter we have with different people, we can make a difference. We can plant seeds of hope and love into their lives.
And it's interesting. He says, however, in verse 26, small ones or small encounters that we have between people, they invade our lives every single day. I thought this is interesting that he used the verb invade.
That's true, because often that has a negative meaning. To invade means to come into, and often we'll use it with one country and another country. Maybe one country's army invades another country. So usually it has a negative meaning, but here he's using it in a positive way just to say that these small opportunities come into our lives every day.
And oftentimes then we would feel, or probably are, the victim of someone else's misaction and someone else's rudeness or someone else's harshness. But the difference is in how we respond to that situation, because we do then have power to change the situation by choosing to respond the right way. Now, I can't, make someone do what they're supposed to do, but I have the power to choose how I respond to what that person does. And that's where the difference can be made. Now, this boy apparently, this young man, this young teenager, this skateboarder, I think his life was changed by that, undoubtedly.
I would imagine so.
Yes.
It reminds me of a proverb that I've heard that says, a soft answer turns away anger, but harsh words stir up anger. So I think how we respond can really help the other person to calm down.
Good point. Well, let's listen to today's skit and see if we can be helped by that.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, for another round of Guess That Tone. You'll hear a phrase, then you'll need to guess in which tone or attitude it's being said. Contestants, are you ready?
Ready!
Okay, our first phrase is, "Hey, you kids! Get off my lawn!" Contestant number one.
That man sounds pretty mean. I'm going to go with harsh.
And harsh it is. 10 points. Now, let's listen to our next phrase.
Can I help you with that, lady?
Yes, contestant number two.
That child seems very helpful. That's definitely a gentle tone.
Right you are. Good work, contestant number two. 10 points. Now it's time to go to our bonus round. The next phrase will be more difficult, but the points will be doubled. So listen carefully to our next phrase.
Excuse me, do you mind if I cut in front of you?
Yes, contestant number one.
Well, what that woman wants to do isn't very polite. But at least she asked politely, and maybe she has a good reason for being in a hurry. So, I'm going to guess gentle.
That's a tough one. Judges? Gentle is right! Congratulations, contestant number one. 20 points.
Well, today we also have a highlight for you, and here it is.
One person can make a difference. Use your words to help others, not to hurt.
Good point. And that's the point we will conclude today's program with, and this article on You Count. You're important, and your one word or your one act can make a difference, can change a person's life forever. Well, until next time, this is Troy.
This is Esther.
And Amy.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.